Dropboxes are headed back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This is Defending Democracy, a weekly podcast from Democracy Docket. We're your hosts. I'm Mark Elias.
And I'm Paige Moskowitz. Let's get started. A big case is headed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court next week. Mark, tell us all about it.
All right. This is, in fact, a very, very important case in Wisconsin, which, of course, is an important battleground state, not just for the presidential election, but for the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, as well as their state legislature. And, you know, what happened here is that in 2020, when we had the pandemic, you saw lots of states, including Wisconsin, expand their use of ballot drop boxes. Ballot drop boxes are secure metal containers. They look a lot like like a post office mailbox that you might see on a street, or a FedEx or a UPS drop box, right? They're secure metal containers, and they were used in many places in 2020. Then the Republicans decided to have a war on drop boxes, which is a whole other thing. And in Wisconsin in 2022, as the result of a conservative lawsuit, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin banned drop boxes. I mean, it didn't make any sense at the time, but that's what they did. They banned ballot drop boxes in the run-up to the 2022 election. Well, my legal team, I should say, was involved in bringing a new lawsuit on behalf of Priorities USA, the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans, and voters, saying that the case that underlined this ban on drop boxes was wrongly decided and should be reconsidered. So we filed a new lawsuit, and that case is now pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court is getting set to have oral hearing. They took this case on a sort of fast track basis. It is clear that the conservative minority, now new minority on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, thinks that this is going to lead to the overturning of that prior decision. And Paige, let's hope so. I mean, the fact is, you know, we can talk a lot about process, and I know we will talk a little bit about it. But the fact is that at the end of the day, what's at stake here is the ability of Wisconsin voters to not only obtain their mail-in ballots, but to be able to return them and make sure that they are counted.
You mentioned a Republican war on drop boxes. Now, drop boxes, like you said, are basically another version of a USPS blue mailbox that you would find on a street corner. Why have they become such a target of litigation and legislation?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. And I wish I could give you a simple answer because, you know, Paige, you and I have talked a lot about this war on drop boxes now over the course of, I hate to say, years. But we continue to talk about this very question, which is, why is it that if you have a secure metal container that does not require a stamp to return your mail-in ballot, it is the source of a series of conspiracy theories. And there, in fact, have been movies, conspiracy movies made about this. Whereas there is not the same conspiracy theories if you are required to put a stamp on it and it goes in a blue mailbox. Like, it doesn't make sense. Either way, at the end point, a government worker comes and opens the box and takes the ballot return envelope out. The only difference is, in one instance, that government worker takes it directly to the election office, and in the other instance, it goes through the U.S. Postal Service, which, in some ways, you know, actually adds more steps to the process. So let me give you two possible reasons why we continue to see this very aggressive effort by Republicans and their conservative allies to target drop boxes. The first is that, you know, Donald Trump came out against drop boxes in 2020 and then again in 2021, and he continues to rail against it. And the political party that literally has not a speck of vertebrae in it, like, it is spineless to the point that if you put the chairman of the Republican National Committee and his ilk to a X-ray, you would find no fragments of bone in their back. You literally could microscopically examine Republicans in the House and Senate and find no evidence that there was ever a vertebrae in their back, right? They're just spineless. They do whatever it is. They're endlessly flexible at the whim of Donald Trump. And so if Donald Trump says we don't like Dropboxes, they all prostrate themselves to say, yes, we hate Dropboxes. And there's really no rhyme or reason to it. So that's theory one, which is that they are just following dear leader. Theory two is that they just want to make it harder to vote. And they want to make it particularly harder to vote by mail, because, you know, they think that vote by mail benefits Democrats electorally, and therefore they want to do everything they can. And that banning ballot drop boxes is no different than, for example, requiring a wet ink signature to apply for a mail-in ballot, or shortening the deadline for a mail-in ballot, or imposing, you know, dating requirements or witness requirements, or, you know, throwing out naked ballots. In other words, it's just part and parcel of a larger effort to make it harder to vote, and particularly harder to vote by mail. But regardless of which one it is, it's really a shameful episode right now within the Republican Party that they are targeting something as innocuous as a secure metal container.
So between the time the Wisconsin Supreme Court banned drop boxes in 2022 and now, the composition of the court has changed. Wisconsin elects justices to its state Supreme Court. It is officially in nonpartisan elections, although it is very clear what positions and platforms the candidates run on. Justice Janet Protasiewicz has joined the court. It turned from a conservative majority court to a liberal majority court after Justice Protasiewicz joined. How does that change in composition affect this case?
Yeah, so look, I think that the, as I mentioned, the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, when the Wisconsin Supreme Court decided to take this case on an expedited basis, they essentially dissented from the expedition. But in the course of doing so, they made clear that they believe that the change of composition of the court will lead to a different result. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Obviously, you know, you have to assume that courts hear these cases in good faith with open minds on all sides, and that you know, we'll see after the argument when the court rules what it does. But I don't think there's any question that the change of the composition of the Wisconsin Supreme Court has been one of the most consequential for voting rights, and undoubtedly other kinds of rights as well, in that the prior composition of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which did rule on a number of voting cases, was extremely conservative and had a number of rulings that I think people who are in the pro-democracy movement, like myself, were highly critical of. They were very restrictive on voting rights. And I think that Justice Protasiewicz ran as a progressive or as a liberal, and, you know, ran as a liberal on issues involving the franchise and people's ability to participate in democracy. So I think it may very well be outcome determinative, but we'll wait and see after the oral arguments. But, you know, it falls a little bit into the category of, you know, elections have consequences.
I have to ask, how is Wisconsin any different from North Carolina? To remind everyone, North Carolina used to have a liberal majority on their state Supreme Court. They also elect justices to that court. And, you know, the liberal majority on that court struck down felony disenfranchisement laws, a racially discriminatory voter ID law. They ruled that partisan gerrymandering was illegal in North Carolina. They made a lot of pro-voting rights rulings. And then an election happened, and the court switched from a liberal majority to a conservative majority. Lawmakers asked the court to reconsider those rulings, and the court did and reversed all of them. And we called out the North Carolina Supreme Court for doing that, for rehearing cases just because the court composition changed. What's different in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I think it's different in a couple of respects. First, at a philosophical level, I think that there is a difference between expanding rights and rolling back rights, right? So I think at a fundamental level, you know, philosophically, it is one thing for a court to reconsider decisions that were restrictive of freedom, you know, of speech or the right to vote or participate in democracy, and to reconsider those and say they were too restrictive. And in fact, the history of progress in this country, both in the courts and in the legislature, has shown that, you know, broadly speaking, the American people agree with that, that we ought to be making progress towards a more perfect union, towards a more perfect democracy, and that where courts are expanding rights, you know, that is That is a sign of our country becoming better, and where courts are rolling back rights that existed, it's worse. So I think that's a philosophical answer, but I'd give you two others that make it, I think, very different. The first is that, you know, the fact is that the North Carolina Supreme Court went from being a nonpartisan body to being a partisan body. And I don't say that as a pejorative. Literally, the Republican legislature in North Carolina changed the way in which justices in North Carolina run, from running on nonpartisan ballots to running as party endorsed candidates. And that, I think, adds a different dimension. You know, you can say that Justice Protasiewicz is a liberal or progressive, and I assume that she would agree that she is. But you can't say she is a Democrat. You can't say that there is a Democratic majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There may be an ideological distinction, but there is not a partisan distinction. Now, in fairness to the North Carolina Supreme Court, they didn't ask for this change. They didn't ask for the body to go from being ideological to being partisan. But that is the reality, is that right now there is a majority of what changed in North Carolina is the court went from being a majority Democratic to majority Republican. And in the course of that happening, as you point out, the North Carolina Supreme Court reconsidered several cases that really restricted voting rights. And you cannot disconnect that. And I talk about court legitimacy all the time at the U.S. Supreme Court and elsewhere. You cannot disregard the impact you have when you roll back rights, when you take away people's rights, and when you are seen doing it for partisan reasons. And I think a court that is avowedly partisan in how it's elected, and again, I'm not blaming the court for this, this is something the legislature put on them, but I do think that puts a greater responsibility on those justices to be very, very sensitive to whether or not what they are doing looks partisan. Right. And I think in North Carolina, it very much looks partisan. Finally, there are some procedural differences. I mean, this is a new case. This is actually not rehearing this case. And I know this sounds very wonky, but this is not a rehearing of a prior case. You know, this case was brought by new plaintiffs with a new set of claims based on their rights. So I do think there are a number of distinctions between this and North Carolina.
So the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear this case on Monday. The oral argument will be streamed. Democracy Docket will be covering the arguments live. What should people look out for?
Yeah, so look, I oftentimes say that it's really important to pay attention to what is happening in these oral arguments, and that Democracy Docket is a unique resource for this. But this is really one of those instances. You know, you can go to any number of sites or any number of places and get good analysis of what is going to happen in, you know, a Trump immunity case. I mean, I published Democracy Docket, otherwise published, but so did, you know, a lot of people publish analysis of what to look forward to in the Trump immunity case and what the aftermath was. And I just want to make an explicit point, though, to the listeners here. If you are not subscribed to Democracy Docket right now, you are not going to get the same analysis that you would get around a case like this, which, frankly, for the outcome of the 2024 election, if that's what you care about, is probably more impactful than any of the Supreme Court cases, because this is really about whether ballots are going to count or not count. And, you know, and for people who can become premium members of Democracy Docket and get its exclusive content, I can tell you, I will be offering some thoughts about this case that will only be available to members, because Democracy Docket does not have a corporate overlord or a billionaire supporting behind it. It relies on the donations of people like you, and also to our people who are able to be paid members. So a little bit here of a commercial page to answer your question, which is that I hope people are subscribed to Democracy Docket and become premium members, and they will get my exclusive thoughts on exactly this question. But broadly speaking, I think what people ought to be looking for is, how do the justices line up in the questioning? You know, does the new Justice Protasiewicz show her cards on this issue? But there's more than that, because this question of drop boxes is part of a larger question of whether the Supreme Court of of Wisconsin is going to reset the standard that it uses for deciding voting cases. You know, is voting by mail a privilege or a right? Is voting by mail something that we ought to take more, put more protections in place for? Because oftentimes the people who vote by mail are the most vulnerable in our society. So I have a lot of thoughts on this. Like I said, some of them democracy.co will be sharing through to all of its subscribers. Some will be on its website. Some will only be available to premium members, but I'd encourage everyone to go to democracy.co.com, click on the subscribe button in the upper right-hand corner, either become a free subscriber or a paid member, or you can click on the link below.
We can't ignore that Wisconsin is a major battleground state for the presidential election this year. What could the electoral impact of this case be?
Yeah, so it can be enormous, which is why I said in some ways, you know, the impact of this in a very, if you watched this series of videos, or if you subscribe to Democracy.org, or you read the New York Times, the Washington Post, whatever it is, and your interest is in sort of constitutional law and jurisprudence, then there's no question that, for example, the Trump immunity case is more important. If what you care about, though, and I'm not judging either of these two, by the way, they're both important. I care about both. But if what you care about is actually just who's going to win, you know, like what's actually going to happen in November, then there's no question that this Wisconsin case is the more important case, because this Wisconsin case could be outcome determinative in a very close election. Whether it's for president or for House or for Senate, you know, you have very, very narrow margins that decide elections in Wisconsin. And the ability to use drop boxes is the difference between, for many, many voters, having their being able to vote and not being able to vote, having their vote count and not count. And so you're not talking about tens of thousands of votes. You're probably talking about thousands of votes, though. You're not talking about hundreds. You may not be talking about tens of thousands, but someplace in between, that is the impact of this drop box case. And so if you care about the outcome of the 2024 election, you ought to be paying a whole lot of attention to this case and the other cases that involve the nuts and bolts of voting in Wisconsin and the other swing states. And if you want to show your support, go to the Democracy Docket store and buy your Democracy is on the Docket and Democracy is on the Ballot t-shirt and other merchandise. You can find a link to that here. Thanks for listening to Defending Democracy. You can find all of the cases and articles we mentioned today linked in the description of this episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. And to find out more and stay up to date on the latest voting rights and election news, visit democracydocket.com and subscribe to our daily and weekly newsletters. We'll see you next time. This episode was produced by Ali Rothenberg, Gabby Corporal, and Paige Moskowitz. It was edited by Gabby Corporal and Paige Moskowitz. Defending Democracy is a production of Democracy Docket, LLC.